KNOM Update News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur, and it's 9:02. The National Transportation Safety Board has finished its on-scene investigation into the crash that killed two Hägglunds Aviation pilots a week ago today. Derek Cedars of Bethel and Gregory McGee from Anchorage died in last Tuesday's crash. The Cessna 208 went down in a willow patch near Three Step Mountain, 30 miles southeast of Bethel. A post-crash fire destroyed the airplane and burned nearby bushes. Investigators are releasing few details beyond that. Clint Johnson is the chief of the Alaska Regional Office of the Transportation Safety Board.
The wreckage, unfortunately, was what we would refer to as very fragmented, and obviously there was a post-crash fire. So a lot of the components that are going to be coming out there are going to be in smaller pieces. So they're going to be sling-loading all the parts and pieces in its entirety back to Bethel.
The wreckage will then be flown to Anchorage within the next week.
They'll do a wreckage layout and be able to go through each one of those components with a fine-tooth comb for the most part to make sure that we document every single piece of that wreckage that comes back.
The investigator in charge, Chris Shaver, documented the aircraft in what troopers call a large debris field. Back in Bethel, he conducted interviews with Hägglunds as well as family and friends of the pilots. A Cessna investigator also investigated the crash scene, and state troopers Thursday brought back the pilots' remains. A team from Pratt & Whitney, the engine manufacturer, will inspect the engine once it's transported to Anchorage. The report from the NTSB is expected soon. Money was the focus of last night's Common Council meeting, or lack thereof. Three agencies in Nome are dealing with less revenue and trying to make up for it with rate hikes and leaner budgets. With only four of the council's six members in attendance, a motion to increase rates at the Port of Nome failed to pass, with Councilman Tom Spartz objecting to higher costs for residents. Towards the end of the meeting, the council ultimately voted it through with amendments, but a 5% increase to wharfage rates on cargo and fuel was dropped. City Manager Josie Banky explained the increase is based on a commission study that found Nome hasn't been charging port users enough.
Their recommendations were, you know, we haven't raised the tariff in so many years that we're behind based on just an entire look at the facility and what our, you know, maintenance, repair, operation costs are.
Port project manager Joy Baker said over the phone the across-the-board approach had been picked by the Port Commission to spread increases equitably among all the facility's users. Also expecting decreased funds this year, City Hall. And in her report to the council, City Manager Banky said revenue losses are expected from actions in the legislature. She says years of flat and falling budgets for city offices have led to deferred maintenance and no new hires. Nome's utility faces similar shortfalls. Utilities manager John Handelin says Nome Joint Utility is not only pessimistic about new funds for sewer repairs, but faces at least $4 million less dollars in revenue. Handelin says one reason is NJUS hasn't raised rates or surcharges to keep up with growing costs.
The utility board definitely is cognizant of the fact that folks in town are struggling, and that we can't, make significant rate charge changes. But none of our rates have changed, other than the fuel surcharge, in 15 years.
Another reason is less in demand for electricity, which means less revenue for NJUS. Rock Creek Mine and the old Norton Sound Hospital building have gone offline, and new energy-efficient technology has meant a drop in power usage for Nome customers. Alaska State Troopers say alcohol and poor weather were at play in a fatal ATV crash that killed a St. Mary's man on Saturday. In a Monday trooper dispatch, investigators say a St. Mary's Village police officer learned that an ATV had crashed near the confluence of the Andriofsky and Yukon Rivers. The VPO learned of the fatal crash around 5 a.m. Saturday. Troopers say 27-year-old Joe Brian Joe of St. Mary's was driving the ATV. He was declared dead at the scene. His family has been notified. Troopers say a passenger on the ATV was also injured in the crash. The passenger was treated at the local clinic. Joe's body was taken to Anchorage for an autopsy by the state medical examiner's office. Troopers say the crash is still under investigation. The Alaska Senate unanimously passed Aaron's Law yesterday morning. The law provides age-appropriate sexual abuse education to children in public schools. Aaron's Law would educate children in public schools to speak up if something inappropriate happens. It also trains teachers and trusted adults to recognize signs that a child is being abused. Republican Senator Liesl McGuire brought forth a Senate bill identical to the House version, first sponsored by Democratic Representative Garen Tarr. McGuire testified that Aaron's Law was the first step towards eliminating sexual abuse of children in Alaska.
We lead the nation. This is one of those places where I hope a decade from now that we'll be not leading the nation, that we will completely flip the statistics. And I think this is going to be a big part of it, Mr. President, is asking that our schools put age-appropriate education about good touch, good secrets, bad secrets.
Sponsors expect that training would reach more than 90% of Alaska's youth who attend public schools and the adults who spend a lot of time with them. Aaron's Law, named after 29-year-old Aaron Marin from Illinois, was sexually assaulted as a child and has made it her goal to pass the law in all 50 states. The law includes a 2-year delay for implementation. Governor Sean Parnell said he supports Aaron's Law. The House version is currently in the Finance Committee. The law has been passed in 12 states and is pending in 25 others. Complaints about bed bugs are on the rise across Alaska, and the Bering Straits region is no exception. Dr. Joe McLaughlin is with the state section of epidemiology and says the only data they've been able to collect is from the Anchorage area, but that anecdotes are trickling in from elsewhere.
We have heard a number of complaints about bed bugs throughout Alaska, including rural Alaska. So this is an issue that's not just isolated here in Anchorage.
Hard numbers about bed bugs are difficult to come by. That's because there are no formal reporting protocols for them like there are for public health hazards involving serious diseases. In the Bering Straits region, there are at least two communities, Koyuk and Elam, currently dealing with growing bed bug problems. According to a city clerk in Koyuk, a recent outbreak at the school prompted the IRA council and city council to hold meetings about coordinating a response. The same city official says this is the first time she recalls pet infestation like this in the community. McLaughlin says that while bed bugs do bite their hosts, they don't transmit diseases and are almost totally benign for human health.
First of all, bed bugs are not known to be vectors for infectious diseases, so that's good news. Bed bugs, however, can be very difficult to get rid of if they're in your home.
But the pests can have a psychologically damaging effect. McLaughlin says many people experience anxiety and difficulty sleeping when they're worried there are bugs inside their beds or clothing, and there's often economic toll taken if mattresses, linens, and clothing are discarded. The state section of epidemiology recommends people check their website for information on how to avoid getting bed bugs, with steps like reducing clutter and precautionary measures for travel. They also have extensive resources and recommendations for what to do if you found bed bugs in your home. Their website is www.epi.alaska.gov, which we'll post on the KNOM website. And the 2014 Pulitzer Prizes in Drama, Journalism, Letters, and Music were announced Monday. And an Alaskan composer is among the winners. You're listening to a winning composition from Alaska composer John Luther Adams. The former Fairbanks resident won a Pulitzer for this composition, Become Ocean, which premiered last June after being commissioned by the Seattle Symphony. Adams' work has long been inspired by the natural world he's experienced, and the Pulitzer Committee was attracted to the real-world feel of Become Ocean, which was informed by the waters off the coast of Alaska and the Pacific Northwest. The committee said the composition is a haunting orchestral work that suggests a relentless tidal surge, evoking thoughts of melting polar ice and rising sea levels. And looking in on the price of gold in New York at this hour, gold is down $22.40 an ounce to $1,305.20 an ounce. Silver down 42 cents an ounce to $19.65 an ounce. And zinc is at 92 cents a pound. Unofficially, it is 25 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 12 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock. Good morning.